today's message is about letting God lift you up. Letting God lift you up. And let me read this. I'm going to start off by reading this quote here. This is from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. That's nice. We just have to let God lift us up out of our circumstances where we are. And what it requires is us believing and knowing that it can happen. And it doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter how far down we think we are that we have to go. God can lift us up to greater heights if we allow him. If we believe that it's true and it's possible and we believe in his words and continue to walk by them, God will lift us up higher and higher and higher. And all we have to do is just continue to speak those words that God has said, think them, and continue to walk with him, knowing that it is coming to pass, and it will happen in our lives. You know, our life is a lot like a vessel, a ship, floating through this life. And that ship of ours is propelled by emotions. Emotions propel that ship forward. And our thoughts are like the rudder that steer it. Our thoughts will direct it in different directions. Now, the thing about our emotions is if we have positive emotions like love and joy, and those are the emotions that are flowing through us, and peace, then our ship is being propelled forward in life. But if we have emotions like anger and hatred and fear, our ship is being propelled backwards in life. If we have thoughts that are good, thoughts that we can do it and we can achieve and we can become great in God and we believe that, then the rudder gets steered in the direction of our destiny towards our purpose to become all that we were meant to be. But if we have thoughts that are saying we're never going to do it, we can't make it, then the rudder changes and steers us away from where we were meant to be and who we were created to be. So our emotions and our thoughts are directing the vessel of our life. We could be sailing and flowing forward towards greatness, towards what we were created to be, to become incredible beings of God, or we could be steered in the wrong direction, going backwards, out of control, heading towards something that we don't want and we don't need. And it all depends on us. It depends on what we're thinking and what we're feeling. And often what we're thinking, what we're feeling is what we're speaking into our lives. So we'll begin to talk about what's on your mind. You can't be thinking, man, I feel really great, and saying, oh, I feel like crap, I don't feel so good. You talk about what's on your mind, whatever you're thinking and whatever you're feeling, that's what you begin to speak about. So we have to know that we got to start speaking the words of God and what he said. He said we could do incredible things. He said he would lift us up, make us princes, and put us on a throne of glory. And it didn't matter that if we were in an ash heap or that we were beggars or that we were poor, that he could lift us up out of those situations and put us in a position of greatness. But we need to be saying that and speaking that over our life. Now, the problem is those thoughts and those emotions are not the primary root of the problem of where the ship is going. So if your ship is going in the wrong direction, you can try to fight and change your thoughts and put in good thoughts. You can try to pretend that you're feeling good even when you're sad. But that's not going to change the direction of your ship, because there's something happening deeper in the bowels of that ship that we have to get to. And it's what we believe. What we believe. It's our beliefs in the bowels of the ship, in the center of our heart, in our life, that is determining where we go. If we can believe what God is saying, that we are meant to sit on thrones of glory and to be princes and princesses, if we can believe that and we walk in that every day, then we are going to think that. We are going to think, I was created for greatness. We're going to be thinking, I know something special is going to happen. And you're going to be feeling a peacefulness and a joy, knowing that you're headed towards that destination. What a feeling of confidence that's going to give you, knowing I'm going to be on a throne of glory. I'm going to do something great in this life. I was created for something amazing. If we believe that, then our thoughts and our feelings will adjust. It all depends on what we believe. Now, if we believe we cannot, or we will not, or we were meant for nothing, that we have no purpose, that we have no destiny, that we weren't created for something amazing, then guess what our thoughts will be? Our thoughts will be thoughts of sorrow and thoughts of fear because you don't know where you're going. There'll be thoughts of worry, feelings of worry. And where will your ship be going? Backwards and out of control, off course. We really depends on what we believe. What can you do about it? God has talked about what we need to believe. And he said this so that we could get our ship on course. So that we would know that we were created for something great. And now we can work with God to weed out all the beliefs that say something different. I have been hearing people say, I'm stupid. I heard somebody say this a couple of weeks ago. I'm stupid. And I was thinking, no, you're not. That's a false belief. God created you for something great. God created you for something amazing. We have to work with God to release the belief to change that so that we don't speak those words over our life, so that we speak words of greatness over our life. Let me tell you a story about a young boy, me. When I was a young kid, it was amazing. There was something inside of me, and I would be talking about how great I was. And I would be saying how amazing I was. And people would say, how are you doing in school? I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic, I would tell people. My mother would always say, you think you're smarter than you are. And she said, you're overconfident. And she would say this because there was no proof of greatness in school. In fact, my report cards were failing. My teachers, the best comment they could make on my report card is, he has a good sense of humor. And my parents did not believe that there was something great or smart inside of me either. So all the proof said something else. But inside of me, there was a feeling. And those words came out. I'm great. I'm doing great. This is incredible. I'm doing fantastic. There was no proof for what I was saying. Not an ounce, not a speck of proof. My brothers didn't believe it. My fellow students did not believe it. They saw the failing tests. They knew I was always at the bottom of the class. My parents heard the remarks from the teachers and saw the report cards. And the teachers certainly didn't see any excellence in me. But I continue to speak it in spite of the fact that it wasn't there. Any evidence of it anyway. But something amazing began to happen. And this is the way that faith works in our life. Listen carefully. Because when we begin to speak the truth that we are meant to sit on thrones of glory and be princes, when we begin to speak like that and just believe it with all of our hearts, then something begins to happen in our life, and it began to happen for me too. Little things began to pop up in my life. Unexpected things that surprised other people. They didn't surprise me. Because I knew I was doing great. One of the first things that happened was I received an award. I had a poem published in an adult's book, and I received an award for it. It was called the Henry Vermilion Award. And I went to the University of Alberta to receive this award. I was the only kid, I was like 12 years old, who received this award. And the rest were all adults that were at this big function, and all these awards were handed out. And I was this little kid, farm boy, who had failing grades and who everybody thought was not very good. But there I was. And now I had proof. There is something great in me. Other things happened and began to change because I kept speaking the words of truth. What I believed, that I was great and something incredible was going to happen in my life. And I kept speaking those words. And other things happened. Suddenly I aced a couple of spelling tests. Got 100%. The rest of the students thought I cheated. I had to have cheated. I had failed so miserably every other time. You have to remember that I was a kid who was dyslexic. I was so dyslexic, I couldn't spell Ted. I would spell Ted backwards, and the D was even backwards. That's how bad I was. But here, because I was speaking greatness into my life, I was able to ace spelling tests. Other kids began to look at me and wonder, how is that possible? It didn't happen overnight. Years went by. Years went by. Little things happened here and there. When I got to high school, they gave me an award for the highest mark in mathematics. Mathematics had become easy to me. I had trouble with adding and subtracting. But when it came to trigonometry and all that stuff, man, it was a piece of cake. The other kids couldn't figure it out. How can this kid be doing that? Getting awards when he couldn't even add and subtract. But I had been speaking all those years that I'm doing great. I'm doing incredible. I told Liza the story yesterday and she said, you were crazy. You know, it appears sometimes to the outside person who doesn't know, you know, that you're crazy. But a man of faith who has confidence in himself and who believes the words of God, and I have to say that was a blessing. Why was a small boy speaking greatness over his life when his parents and his teachers and his siblings and his fellow students were not speaking greatness over him? Why would he be able to speak greatness over his own life when nothing and nobody supported that? Because I had God on the inside as a young boy. And I believe the voice of God was telling me, you were meant to sit on a throne of glory. You were meant to be a prince. And that belief was inside of there somewhere, and it was being stoked. And every time I received a little reward or a little success in some small way, I just knew that was my proof. I was a step closer. I didn't need proof to speak it. I was speaking it before there was any proof. But because I was speaking it, now what was on the inside began to manifest on the outside. What nobody else could see that I was talking about began to be seen. They didn't believe it at first, but I continued to speak it, and I continued to receive it and walk with it. I know that that belief and confidence was important, and I know other people thought that I was delusional, that I was crazy. I know they didn't believe, you know, think that I was talking sense, but that's what faith is about. Listen to this quote in Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. My mother said I was overconfident. That confidence, though, I believe was being put there by God. And that is a great reward when you can use it in the right way. Today, I have a wonderful life and support system. 2 days ago, our daughter, Lola, graduated from law school. And, you know, it was a beautiful ceremony that we were at. Yesterday, we celebrated our anniversary, our wedding anniversary, my marriage to Liza. And we have been so happy and supportive. And today, I have somebody who stands beside me who says, you are great. You can do great things. God created you for greatness. How did that happen? In the beginning, there was nobody around me that spoke like that into my life. But I spoke like that into my life. And the more you speak like that into your life, the more it manifests, the more it comes to pass, the more things you see to support it. And pretty soon, you're now walking with other people. I have a wonderful, supportive family now around me that speaks those words of greatness into my life. And I speak those words of greatness into their life. And that's what God wants for all of us. He doesn't want us condemning ourselves and saying that we're idiots. You need that confidence. You need that confidence to walk and know where you're headed so that your ship continues to sail towards what God created you to be. He created you to be great. Start to speak that in your life, even if you have no proof of it. Start to speak it. Because as a young boy, I know that works. Now, nobody told me that. Nobody taught me that. I just had that in my heart. You guys have an advantage. You know what God has said. You know what He's promised for you. So you know what to believe. And now it's a matter of working with God and speaking His words into your life and over your life. Begin to speak that you will be sitting on a throne of glory, that you will be a prince, that you're going to do something great. Know that your confidence is going to bring you a reward, a wonderful reward. Let me tell you a story about a man. This is one I heard recently. This man, he came to God, and when he came to God, it blew his family apart because they weren't used to him being a man who believed in God. And so one of his daughters, they went and lived with the mother. The mother divorced him, so he got a divorce out of this. And he now was praying and hoping that God would bring this daughter back. He had one daughter that stayed with him and had a great relationship with him. But the second daughter, she thought he was a phony now that he was walking with God. She didn't think that he was the same guy that she knew growing up. And he was a phony, she was thinking. So she didn't want to have a relationship with him. But he was praying and talking to God and believing that God would bring this woman, this daughter, back into his life and that they would be reconciled. And it didn't happen right away. It didn't happen after first year or the second year or the third year. And he found a verse in the scriptures in Malachi that talked about God turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their father. And he took this verse and he said, God, that's something you said. I believe you're going to do that with my daughter. I believe that. And he started walking and believing that verse. Believing that God was turning her heart. He was changing her heart. He was bringing it back to him. 4 years, 5 years, 6 years go by. Still nothing. He's still believing. And then he finds out she's getting married. He hasn't been invited. He's not going to be able to give his daughter away at the wedding. He has missed another milestone in her life. God has told him in the meantime to write a book about reconciling relationships. He doesn't have a relationship yet that has been brought together, but he writes a book about it. And he begins to give it away. He says, I'm planting seeds because I know God is going to bring my relationship back together with my daughter. And he watches as other people, their lives and their families are reconciled through his book. And even hears the story of a man who was brought together with his daughter because of his book that he wrote. And he says, God, I know you did that for him. You're going to do that for me. I believe it totally. Still wasn't happening. Years went by. The years were passing. And you know, when he heard about the wedding, it really broke him up. You know, he got really emotionally shook up about it. But you know, a lot of times what happens to us when we are faced with that kind of disappointment, we get angry. We think, oh, God has done something against me. God promised that and he didn't do it. We start to curse God. Or we begin to just throw it all away and say, you know, it's not going to happen. Her heart's not going to be turned towards me. It's never going to come. It's not possible. What has happened to that ship of your life? Where is it sailing now? Because what have you allowed the thoughts and the emotions to do? Steer you off course. But this man didn't do that. He went back to that verse and he said, no, God, you said you're going to turn the hearts of the children to the father. I believe it. You showed me this other man and his daughter getting together. I know that's going to happen in my life. And then God told him, because he said, what's taking it so long, God? You know, sometimes we ask that question and God gave him a suggestion. He said, I want you to give her a gift. Give her a rose, a thank you card, and your book. And so he went into her place of work and he just walked in and everybody else had gone to lunch, which was a great coincidence. And I'll have to tell you, there are no coincidences. God set it up. You know, the two of them were only there and he set down his present and said, this is for you. I want to congratulate you and your husband. And he left because the daughter didn't want to do anything, you know, having to do with him. So he didn't want to push him, but he left this gift. Still, time went by. Nothing was happening. Then he got an email. In the email, the daughter wrote, I love you. I don't hate you. I want to have a relationship with you. I'm not ready. Aha! He knew right then God was turning the child's heart towards him. The heart was being turned. It hadn't turned yet, but all of his believing and his walking, he had no proof or evidence that the heart was turning up to that point. How many years he had walked? I think it was like 8 years at that point that he had walked without any proof of anything happening. And yet he continued to say, it's going to happen. I know you're doing it, God. I know we're going to get back together. I know we're going to have a relationship. Long story short, shortly after that, they made contact. They ran into each other in a store. It didn't happen by accident. God told him to go to that store and buy her a gift. And he walked into that store and there she was standing. He didn't know she was going to be there, but God had set it all up. Before they knew it, they were embraced and hugging and crying and talking to one another. And now their hearts had been turned back to each other and they reconciled, as God had always said they would. It's a beautiful story that again emphasizes the fact that there was no proof for what this man was saying or thinking or believing in his life, but he continued to speak it over his life, and it came to pass. It doesn't have to take years. It doesn't have to take that much time. But just know, we have to continue to believe what God is saying before it manifests in our life. We had with Lola, before she graduated law school, you know, we had some trouble when she was just in high school. And there were difficulties and times where she was angry with us and she wasn't talking to us. And she went to live with the grandparents for a while and we thought, oh man, she hates us. You know, what have we done? And we began to pray and we began to believe God too. And we began to believe God will transform and change her. And we continued praying that and believing it, although there was no evidence, because all we heard were angry and nasty words. But in about 6 months or a year, I think it was, right? Suddenly, her heart changed. And she had a different outlook for us and a different attitude for us. And now, we live in a great harmony and a great love. And that happened because we believed it, and we continue to speak it. If you go into a mode, and this is the important thing I want you to understand, just because you don't see it happening yet, don't let yourself slip into a negative attitude. Remember, the emotions drive the ship. The negative emotions drive the ship backwards. Don't let yourself begin to think it's never going to happen. Remember, that steers you off course. It's moving you away from where you want to go. Don't let yourself get into that. But also remember, the thoughts and the emotions are only symptoms of what you're believing. That means there's a belief there that doesn't belong. And you got to go in with the help of God and root it out. Get that false belief out of you that says it's never going to happen. Get that belief out so you can get the truth in that the children's hearts are being turned towards the Father's, that I'm meant for greatness, that God is going to do incredible things. I like what it says about God here in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. His power works in us, and he can do things beyond what we can think and believe. He can do incredible things. All he needs us is to meet him halfway and begin to speak it, begin to believe it. And as we walk in that belief, he is transforming and changing things. He did it for me in my life. I think I have a life of victory, and I know that it's only just begun. You can't look back at my education and think this guy is an academic genius. You wouldn't say that, but I had victories, victories where people didn't think there would be victories. And I know that from this point forward, this is just the beginning. Greater things are in store for me. Why? Because I understand the promises of God that he wants me to be a prince. That he wants me to sit in a throne of glory, not just in the next life, but in this life too. He wants us to succeed in all areas of our life. We should have successful relationships. You know, like my wonderful and beautiful wife who supports me. We should have successful careers where things are booming and growing and changing every day. And they're also, those careers are filling us and helping us to be better people. Each and every day we are growing and changing and transforming. Physically, we should be healthy and strong. God's promise was to heal us. And he brings healing into our life in the same way. Let me tell you a story about a man. I went to a conference 2 weeks ago, and there was a man there who told his testimony. He had stage 4 cancer. Nobody had ever lived with this cancer before. They had all died before him. And here he finds out he has this cancer. He asks the doctor, how long do I have to live? You might wake up dead tomorrow, the doctor tells him with a very straight face. Unbelievably. And he says, you probably have less than a year to live. Nobody's ever lived from this cancer. This guy went home devastated at first, but he was a man of God. And after he kind of took a moment to process, he began to think and remember what God said. God said, I'll heal you. God said, I'll make you strong. He remembered the promises of God, and he began to repeat healing scriptures every morning. He read tons of healing scriptures that talked about his health, talked about getting strong, how God was promising health in his life. 1 year went by. He was still on chemotherapy and radiation. 2 years went by. After the second year, which he'd outlived what his doctors had said he would, He received from God that he should no longer take the chemotherapy or the radiation. So he stopped it and he started just walking with what God was telling him. Still reading his scriptures and believing for health. And now it's been 4 years. That man has been healed. He overcame something. The evidence was not there. The evidence was saying quite the contrary. The doctor was saying, you're going to die. The tests were saying, you're going to die. The diagnosis was saying, nobody's ever lived with this before. Everything was saying the opposite. But he was walking, believing God, knowing that his ship was sailing in the right direction. And as he continued to repeat what God had said over his life, as he began to declare victory time and time again, he was getting stronger. He was getting healed. This is what we need in our lives to succeed, for all of us. We don't believe in the proof or the evidence. If we did, imagine how depressed that little boy that I was would have been. What hope would there have been if I began to declare defeat over my life? If I began to say, well, you're stupid. If I began to say those things, then there would have been nobody saying something good. And it would have been a very depressing life. We need to be the one that begins to speak over our life the words of victory. We need to be the ones that really understand what God is promising in this life for the success in all areas. And the more that we understand that, we want to work with him to release the old beliefs that are saying something different so that we can now begin to speak the words of God over our life, having God's thoughts, those wonderful thoughts that I will make it, I will be great because God is working in me, I can do more than I ever believed because my God is a God who does above and beyond all things. And the more that we walk in that way, we will receive the greatness that we are believing. We'll be reconciled to our loved ones, and our life will be transformed. We will be healed as this man was healed. And we will receive success and victories in places we never thought were possible. Much like that little boy that I was, nobody ever believed that I would get 100% on a spelling test. That seemed like an impossibility. Nobody ever believed that I would receive an award for the highest mark in mathematics. Again, that was an impossibility. I was an F student. But it is possible. All things are possible when you believe. That confidence in God will bring you the reward. When we pray to God, have confidence that he will answer the prayers and it will be done. And if we continue to walk in that, and don't let it be shaken, don't let your ship be taken off its path for a moment by a thought that tries to creep in and say it's not going to happen. Get God to weed that thought out. Don't let an emotion or a little setback devastate you to the point where you suddenly throw up your arms and begin to cry and let the fear take over because now your ship is going backwards. Don't allow that to happen. Continue to delve into the Word of God, believing his promises, knowing what he said, and you will receive victory too. I know that your life is going in the right direction, and all I'm saying is don't let little thoughts or emotions pull you off course. God has great things for you. You are meant to be princesses, and have that throne of glory, and you can do it. God said it was possible. When God says something, that's his promise. It's got the ironclad seal. There's nothing going back and there's nothing going to change that. And the only thing that's dependent on us is us letting our ship sail. Keep going forward. Keep the rudder on track. Keep the beliefs in the right place on that ship. And if our beliefs are in God, there's nothing that's going to stop us. Because our emotions and our thoughts and our words will all be in alignment with what we were created to be. And we were created to be great, to have an amazing life, to be successful in all areas of our life. Because God said it was so.